Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. This is your tonight's host, Dave Atwill speaking. Dr. John.
The crumb on assignment.
That's correct. And Dr. John is in parts unknown doing other activities. So he will be counted absent this evening, but he is doing fine. He just needed to step away for the evening. So with all that being said, while I'm lighting up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars, I will introduce my partner in crime on Wednesday nights, my brother in arms, Todd Saxon. How are you, buddy?
I am doing outstanding to supernatural, and I am ecstatic to be here. For listeners, just so you know, I'm sitting outside on the stoop so I can enjoy this. We had some, it was more than a little shower come through here. We had a couple of them today that were little showers, and then we had one pretty tremendous downpour. So the tree frogs out here tonight are just making an extraordinary racket. They're living life extra large. And me, I'm doing pretty darn fine. Now, I know Dave's trying to get his cigar lit and stuff like that, but boy, I had to re-listen to in my head what he said, because he goes, and Dr. John is doing time. I said, doing time? No. He said he's doing fine. It's like, holy crap, I knew I didn't hear that right. I was like, did I miss some breaking news? No,
So yeah, he didn't turn in a library book from 1973 and they come lock his ass up over it.
I'm telling y'all, you never know what's going to happen on the show, so it's kind of like anything goes. And you're right, man. There might be some old doggone South Carolina law in the books for some non-return library book. Now, know we have Dave back, and he's doing the hosting duties here. But my workmate, my brother, our man, he's a well, we won't say he's regular yet, and if you hear him complain about his personal life, he will mention he is semi-irregular. My workmate, Tim Armstrong, how you doing, brother?
Wow, what an introduction. I'm doing fabulous. Good evening from just north of Indianapolis, Indiana. Great to be here.
We appreciate you joining us in the green room. It was it was very refreshing to see your number come up on the board. I was like, yes, okay, so it's not just me and Todd tonight, because believe it or not, and Tim, you've done a couple shows now, and I'm sure you'd understand that trying to do one of these shows for an hour and a half on two guys, especially when it's not scripted. And sometimes I think that's what saves us, is that we don't have a script. But it's tough. So when you get a third guy in there, it certainly gives us other two moments to refresh our drink, rest our voice, perhaps relieve ourselves and the other activities we do off camera, which is why we continue to do this on the phones and not on laptops. But nevertheless, so,
oh no!
Good to hear
that would be a horror show. That would change the ratings of the show right there.
Oh yeah.
We would lose any PG-13.
Hell, just looking at me alone will run off half the damn viewers. So I mean, it won't take but a second. So tonight, I figured we would start off with something I noticed today. And for those of you who listen to the show, know that I speak quite often about self-educating, reading up. Don't just take one opinion, get both sides of the story and make your own opinion up. So I was in one of my reading binges today while I was eating lunch and everything. And I'm scrolling down the news feed, and the first story that came up, oddly enough, was about Lori Loughlin cheating to get her daughter into college. And I kind of stopped and I thought, oh, this must be an old article. And I looked at the date, and it had today's date on it. And I'm going, okay, we're still talking about this. We are still carrying on. So I skipped by it, and I kept rolling down. Well, then two stories in a row, about Ellen DeGeneres being a total pain in the ass on her show, back to back. And again, I'm going, okay, this too is old news. And it's not news that bears repeating. In other words, if Todd writes an article about Ellen DeGeneres being a bitch, there's no need in me and Tim to write one because it's going to be pretty much the same thing. Nevertheless, there was another one. So I scroll down a little further. And next thing I see is two back-to-back articles about Miley Cyrus losing her virginity to Thor's brother. And I'm going, okay, with all that's going on in the world, if this is all I had to worry about today, perhaps the world would be a better place. So I scroll further down, another article about Ellen DeGeneres, another article about Lori Loughlin, and then when I finally gave up is when I saw an article about Felicity Huffman, who is the actress who's already pulled 14 days for cheating to get her kid into college. And I finally said, you know what? I can't do no more. I'm going to watch something on Netflix and expand my mind. Oddly enough, what my point being is that we write multiple articles on things that have absolutely zero bearing on 99.9999% of the U.S. population. Oddly enough, there was not one article that I saw that spoke about Epstein and Maxwell. Okay?
Huh.
So, makes you go, Now, just to make a point out, and I'll turn the room over to you gentlemen, is the number one name on that naughty list was our old buddy Bill. And he was a keynote speaker at the DNC rally last night, national convention. And I'm going, holy smokes now. Here's a guy who was cuddling up to naked 16-year-old girls. And I don't say women, I say girls. And he is standing on stage trying to steer the minds of American voters into voting for a guy that he supports. And I'll be honest with you, if I found out that Bill Clinton's favorite cereal was Frosted Flakes, I quit eating the damn thing. Just because of who he is. So the media's tilt on things is frightening. The one-sidedness, the negativity, and for anybody out there listening, you know, even if you are on the left, I would beware. I would beware because God knows how much information you have rolling around in your head right now that you feel is valid that could possibly not be. So with all that said, I will turn it over to you guys. Tim, do not let me forget to talk about AOC's plan to save the post office. Don't let me forget to share that, okay?
Oh, my God. That was, you know what? I did see a bit on that, and it was so funny because she assumed some of those people can write and read. it just... You know, I'm just saying that was one of my first thoughts. I'm like, really? Do you know who you're trying to pander to? The
I mean, we're not all in six.
Well, and there are so many other things that go along with that. The whole the part on that, I guess we'll just run with that tangent right off the bat, because I wanted to go with some of the other inconsistencies or types of memory that the media likes to have and stuff like that. But the whole, we want to be great for the environment, but I want you using paper, which comes from, I want you using envelopes, which come from, what are the stamps made from, which comes from, and what type of vehicles do they use to move the mail? So what type of fossil fuels do they use? Hint, hint. Fossil fuels. Let me just narrow it down for you. That means the stuff that you keep saying is bad for the environment. So I mean, let's face it. The one of the things is, and oh, by the way, if the post office really wants to save money, let them freaking start charging more for some of that bulk mailing crap.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about you sending Christmas gifts across the country. I'm talking about when somebody sends out 3 million pieces, 3 million damn credit card applications. That kind of stuff.
Or seeds from China. I mean, you mean to tell me, with all the news out there saying whatever you do, don't plant these things, you mean to tell me that the post office couldn't put a fail-safe in their sorting system that said, hey, guys, whenever you see a package like this, throw it in this bucket over here?
You know, now, I got to give people credit. They have been using one of my favorite critters with the memes related to those Chinese seeds. They've been bringing back Little Shop of Horrors as a reference for that, which is
Audrey.
It's pretty excellent. I like that. Dave, you did it. It's going to happen. Food tangent. First time I learned to make my own sourdough, and you got to feed it daily and stuff like that, I just went ahead and named my batch of sourdough Audrey, because it was always going to feed me. Just saying.
So, Tim, not to cut you off, but real quick, I just pulled up Yahoo News, or better yet, AT&T.net on my phone, which is the natural go-to when you go through AT&T on your phone, right? The first news story, Lakers wear red MAGA-lite hats with altered message. The next one, watch live, day three of historic Democratic convention. The third story, jail time unavoidable, Lori Loughlin, experts say. Fourth story, CEO decries tragedy of unmeasurable proportions. I don't know what for, but that's pretty strong language. Chiefs corner promote side hustle in suspension. And photo shows rattlesnake climbing trees. No shit, guys. This is exactly what I'm looking at. Now, with all this going on out there in the world, this is what AT&T has the ability to put up for us to read. Those are the headlines.
Well, let me drop this out. I don't mind those odds and ends. It's kind of like you got a very intense movie, and they'll give you that moment of levity or a moment to catch your breath. So maybe the rattlesnake climbing the tree isn't completely bad. You know, I like seeing that stuff slid in there now and again. But, yeah, now, so, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's good that people can remember the college cheating scandals. And now, I don't know if that article is written as in poor Lori Loughlin, or is it written in, she's getting hers. But what about the schools that were allowing that to happen? You know,
right.
What's going on there?
Well, and I'll toss this out there, is we've got five people behind the curtain, okay? One of them touched naked girls. Another one killed people in cold blood. All right? And these all go along with, you know, the news and everything. You know, we come up and we have all these different stories. I read something today about a mom who actually put a hot lighter against her child's skin. Okay? There's no mention of that. This animal who shot this hennet kid, no mention of that. No mention of Epstein or Maxwell or Clinton, any of those guys. But behind that curtain stands Lori Loughlin, who cheated to get her daughter into college. Now, at least ways, if you're going to break the law, you know what I mean? It's you break into a store, and one guy steals a brand new TV, another one steals a high-dollar pair of sneakers, and then the other one steals some Bayer aspirin for his ailing child. All three of them are criminals, but I would dare say the one stealing the Bayer aspirin for their child was the least of the three, correct?
That is one that I know I at least would have empathy for.
Yep.
Correct. So, yeah, you know, they were pulling the strings and they were using their, their fame to angle their daughters into, particular colleges and everything. But by God, man, you know, you read these stories about R. Kelly and Bill Cosby and Epstein and these guys, and I'm going, God, she needed to get her daughter into college? How did that become a bad thing all of a sudden? Is it against the law? Yes. And should she be, you know, punished for, you know, being, you know, outside of the bounds of the law? Yes. But my God, I mean, I don't think hell is getting, I don't think they're landscaping out room for her new house in hell for that. I mean, for God's sake.
I wonder. I don't think so. I mean, but you know, one of the thoughts is this one of those anti-celebrity things? Maybe, maybe not, or whatever. But again, you don't hear them necessarily talking about how was the school, the people that accepted the bribe, they were the other part of the crime. What's going on there? Just a thought.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bigger picture because these are just the people getting caught. You know, the media dropped the whole story about a particular school here in the state that was giving whole courses that had no classroom involvement and giving, you know, getting people passing grades. I mean, they weren't seeing their instructor. And, you know, this whole, found out the whole course was a sham, and that stuff disappeared quick as can be.
Yeah.
And that school did not get any banned. What the hell was that?
Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of things that came out of that.
There was a little talk about it off the bat, and it was only because somebody turned out, somebody said, well, yeah, what I went to school for didn't help me at all. It didn't help me. This is what they, you know. Dude, that's not why you were at the school. You were at the school to participate in that sport. I mean,
I mean, it's like I said, it's just one of those things where they put so much emphasis on stuff of that ilk. But I'm working myself here. I'm actually, while we're talking, I'm going through just trying to find an Epstein story. And I apologize for keep going back to that guy. But he's a perfect example of the selective.
Well, what about, if nothing else, what about old girl that got in custody? And I know supposedly she was talking loud and not. So either for the first time ever, the government's doing a really great job of keeping that under wraps, or, and this could be purely coincidence, since it's all these certain key people, and they come a few narrow arenas, let's face it, it takes a certain amount of money to get into those arenas. Or just out and out prestige, if you will. So no sooner does it look like it may really be coming out on them, than suddenly you start hearing one of the causes of the day being, oh, that's actually just a sexual preference.
Oh, God. Yeah, when I heard that, any parent.
Well, let me ask. I'll tell you right now, the one of us that has the youngest kid is Tim. Tim, how do you feel about that, that pedophilia is just a sexual orientation?
No.
my kids are all legal adults, so I guess they're not really kids anymore by that term, but they're still my kids. But Tim, you got youngins.
Of course, yep. Yeah, and if I ever had, I'm not the biggest guy in the world, not the strongest guy in the world, but good Lord, if anybody ever, I'm pretty protective of my kids, so even the thought of, anything coming their way, and let's just say I'll have a life sentence after that.
It'd be worth the jail time, right?
Probably so.
And again, I don't think it's a coincidence that that's happening. I really don't think it's a coincidence.
And again, I need you to convince me, and you hear me say this every week on the show, I am a rational, intelligent, logical 50-year-old male, okay, middle income. I need you to convince me. You will have my support. My support is there for you to have. If you can convince me that X makes sense. So, again, fasten your seatbelt. Well, I don't need nowhere wearing a damn seatbelt. Started seeing a lot of people not getting thrown out of cars. A lot of lives getting saved because of seatbelts. Okay. Click. I need somebody out there to look me in the eye and convince me that having some type of sexual activity or stimulation with children is okay. I don't know how anybody could possibly speak on that either. It's beyond thought. And to be honest with you, where is all these other people? And when I use these other people, you got a figure that's probably 0.00001% of the population who actually feel that way in the United States. In other regions of the world, possibly more. But in the United States, there's not many of these type of people that come out and say, hey, I think this is good. Where is the outrage? Where are all these? Where are the Me Too people? Where's the Alphabet folks? Where's all these? You know, where's the evangelicals? And oddly enough, the evangelical silence is pretty creepy in its own
sense. Yeah, it is.
Going, yeah, and you're going, that's strange. Pastor so-and-so isn't speaking too loud against this. Why is my voice drowning his out? But again, there's just no, absolutely no valid reason for me to believe that it can even remotely be deemed as okay. Not at all.
I have to back up here a second. I was a little preoccupied trying to get my son taken care of, actually trying to get him to go to sleep. But where, like, what basically led to that? What story or what headline has prompted a justification for that kind of behavior being okay? I missed that part.
I'm going to say roughly 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It had been somewhere, and it got a little bit of press, and there were several folks talking about it, and I was like, holy crap. I know most of the articles that I think all the sources I saw on it came from something definitely right-leaning. I didn't see that on any of the left-leaning things I read. Not at all. So it may take some looking to go back to find where it was, but it was public forum. It was like in a conference room type thing, or even a small auditorium. I guess it depends upon where you're at. Hell, I mean, I've been places where I've seen rivers that are way smaller than what they call a creek up here. So, one person's auditorium is another person's conference room, just saying.
Yeah, well, I won't jump on a big soapbox or anything, but, you know, not only would we be talking about how sick the individual is who would have that kind of a preference, but from the other end, and I guess that's why they would make them such a sick individual is, you know, the minor, whoever is involved, kids, their brains aren't developed yet. They don't know, you know, they could be forced to do something that they're taught is okay when it's not. I don't know. I could ramble on and on and on, but, you know, yeah, it's kind of like Todd, you said, I'm the one with the youngest kids, and that's why, especially at this day and age, it's so damn terrible to try to, you know, and when I was in my 20s, I could be a smart ass and say, well, they just need to watch where their kids go or something to that effect. But when you're a parent, especially as much technology is out there now, it's tough.
Yeah.
And we try to monitor what they can get on their Xbox. They can get on their game systems, and they've got chats going now. And, you know, so we try to monitor and make sure chats are shut off because you never know how sickos are going to try to pursue them, you know? You just never know. But
that's been shown as been used as a gateway.
The
protective parent sadly was not the first one to think of that.
But you know, and it's funny you bring that up though, and that's a good term, protective parents. You just hit Todd is in the event that it goes Section 8 on somebody over something as such, that parent would be villainized. I would be willing to bet dollar donut that parent would be called reactionary. You know, I'm sure they would go back through and say, oh, well, and the article would read, Trump flag flying parent beats to death boyfriend of daughter. And that's how the the line would read. And then if you dig, you find out that the daughter was 8 and the boyfriend was 26, or better yet, 46. And the dad, as they say in these terms, lost his shit. And, I just to think we're actually having a conversation and having organized gatherings of people of this ilk is just beyond me. You know, and you're talking to a bunch of guys who go to Comic Cons, for Christ's sake.
true story. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, I've talked about it before. I love to talk about it again. Look, Comic Cons are one of those yin yang things. There are people that have worn that same costume 300 times and never laundered it. And they're how many times they've laundered themselves in the last year is pretty questionable in many cases. So that's one of the things that happens there. The whole how packed they can be and stuff like that can be brutal for some of the bigger ones. And yet, I don't know. I mean, I've been to two larger type events. One is a paying customer. The other, I actually I got my vendor wristband after I was already a paying customer. Hey, you know, I'm not going to fuss too much. Helps that stuff stay in business. And I had a blast. But I'll tell you one thing, I know having that vendor wristband, I definitely got treated differently. And being able to talk with the other vendors and them being different people. I mean, I see the on Netflix, I can't remember the name of it, but it's Lyle retrospective on the whole Boggy Creek thing. And I got pictures with Lyle. We got, you know, do we change messages periodically? The, you know, I've got some signed by him, things like that. Got the dude involved in the picture. Got the family that put out the movie. You got Lyle Blackburn, who's probably the premier expert on it, and the guy that played the monster in the movie. How friggin' cool is that? It just, you know, and that was the difference with the vendor wristband. Just a whole different thing. Whole very different thing. And I got to, when I went and grabbed my, went to the girl there from the family and had bought one of the copies of the movie poster. I had her sign it, I had Lyle sign it, I had the monster sign it. I mean, that thing just stays in its frame. It ain't budging. I don't know that I could have done any better with that particular little piece of memorabilia.
Yeah, but it's one of kind stuff, you know. All right.
Yes.
So
the only thing I have to compare to that, Todd, is my signed, my autographed jersey of Jeff Saturday. He was a cult center for those that may not know.
Yeah, I actually know who he is. He for a long time with Peyton Manning for a long time. So
all right, so now I am currently reading one.
I got to just be clear on as far as Jeff Saturday. So his claim to fame is having Peyton Manning's hands on his butt.
Oh, come on, Todd.
You're going to be a bear, be a grizzly.
Actually, what I could plug in there is really if you want to take part of his claim to fame is I've heard not just my wife but other females talk about his eyes. So apparently he has quite the eyes. to stare at from the lady's perspective.
Ah. To go along with the forehead. But it's all good.
None. All right, Dave, you found an article. Sorry.
No, it's all good. I just, again, the frustration level, and I'm having one of those nights where I can't push myself away from it. Trump and Miss Moscow, this is the headline, how it reads. Trump and Miss Moscow report examines possible compromises in Russia trips. Okay, so by reading that, what's the first thing that comes to mind? That Trump's been flying back and forth to the Soviet Union to be getting some legs. That's what I get out of that headline. Am I wrong?
It would be. That's definitely a possible inference.
All right. So the article starts off as decade is 10 years, for those of y'all who don't know, 2 decades before he ran for president, Donald J. Trump traveled to Russia, where he scouted properties, was wined and dined, and of greatest significance to Senate intelligence investigators, met a woman who was a former Miss Moscow. A Trump associate, Robert Paran, who was also interviewed by the Senate investigators, said he believed Trump may have had a romantic relationship with the woman. So, I'll go
on. 25 years ago. Now.
Yes.
God, I wish they would have go back 20 years on anybody else.
Please, God, don't go back 25 years on me. Actually, I'm coming up on that. It'll be 25 years for me and Dale in November. And it was that 25-year November 17th date where I got my ass in gear and started acting like a human being. But everything prior to that is definitely up for discussion. So it says here, on the same trip, another Trump associate, Leon D. Black, told investigators that he and Trump might have been in a strip club together. Ooh. Another witness said that Trump might have been with another woman in Moscow and later brought them along to a meeting with the mayor. Trump was married to Marla Maples at the time. All right, guys, let me go ahead and back up about Marla Maples. If you remember correctly, he was boinking Marla Maples behind Ivana's back. So, again, we're speaking.
Or Ivana behind Marla Maples.
Yeah. Now, we're speaking 25 years ago, before he even had an inkling about being the president, he was going out. And he went to a strip club in Moscow. But in the meantime, there's no mention of Bill Clinton sitting poolside with naked 15-year-old girls on Epstein's Island. There's no mention.
They ain't brought up old Monica.
That was something that Bill said in his bit on the on his little snippet last night. Was he was talking how Trump does not have the discipline and the what's the word I'm looking for? In other words, he's not worthy. He doesn't have the class to be in the Oval Office. So I'm going, okay. The same guy who got a Hummer in the Oval Office is talking smack about a guy who sits in the Oval Office. It's just completely mind-numbing. So some ass bag, and let me go ahead and back up, and I'll give you like we're going to ever meet this guy. But nevertheless, Michael S. Schmidt of the, guess what, New York Times, wrote this article. Okay? So with all the things going on in the world today, you name it, okay, all this guy can do is jump in the damn DeLorean, drive it to the Kremlin, 25 years ago and write some story about our president being in a strip club.
I want to throw this one out. Just to be clear, for the listeners here, because there's apparently a current profile out there, and I want to change the profile. Dave, do you own a boat?
No, I don't.
Okay. That's all. So they don't match the profile. Just saying.
Is there another day that well with a boat out there?
No. It's just you fit the age category. And just saying that, we'll go with this or parts that do fit the profile. Did you get a degree, Dave?
Not a degree. I do have credits, but I do no degree.
Yeah, right. Same as me. I don't have an actual degree either. Tim's got quite the degree. We are amongst one of those higher education types. And last time I checked, actually, you don't have a boat, do you, Tim?
Well, technically, yes, I do have a boat, but it's probably not a boat that you're thinking of. I have a rowboat.
That would work for me. Ooh. See,
it's a rowboat. The only time I've ever used it is when the backyard flooded.
We got a rowboat story coming, so we're going to run with that.
It's not much of a story, I can tell you, but it's not much of one. If you really want me to, I don't know if you'll consider this one of the first tangents, but last summer, I'm on 3 acres in a suburb north of Indianapolis, Westfield, and I'm on 3 acres, northern part of Westfield, and when it rains, our backyard can flood. You know, if it rains like all day or if we get a heavy one, you know, we can be looking at a pond in our backyard. So I was out drinking coffee with the wife in the morning on the porch staring at the water. And I said, you know, it would be real funny. What if I got that rowboat out that I bought and put it out in the lake and put the kids in it? And she was like, oh, yeah, you need to do that. And so I was kind of joking, but found myself about 45 minutes later dragging this heavy-ass rowboat out from the detached garage through the side part of the yard, clear over into the pond, and the kids got in it. And then I got in it, and I pushed a little bit further, and we sat and took video, took some pictures, and there was even a part deep enough to where it actually could float for a little bit, and I would push them and let it glide in the water. So, yep, we've had fun with the rowboat in our backyard, and that is the only time that I've ever used that sucker. There you go.
All right, so you're yin and yang there on the profile. The and I have to laugh. The only thing you were missing was reporting from that rowboat with the kids in there, maybe that you had done a rescue and then having somebody walk behind you through the puddles. Then you would have been mainstream media.
Well, I will admit that in the videos I was trying to make it look like it was, you know, some pretty deep water, like they were flowing through a river.
Oh no, I get it. And that was done in fun as opposed to trying to give a whole different story, but it does explain why it is worth where you're at having the mosquito folks come out and spray when you got water that can collect like that.
You bet.
Yes, indeed. Good rowboat story. Works for me. Dave, what do you say?
Yeah. All jokes aside, I can I can definitely picture that in my head with Tim, because when I managed a store out there near the Neuth River, or not the Neuth, it was the Cape Fear River.
New.
The houses down there towards Bergall are all up on stilts. And when I used to run that grocery store out there in the early 90s, during whenever the river would crest, these people would come to the store pulling a bass boat, and they would buy a month's worth of groceries, and we would take them out and load these three or four carts of groceries up into the bass boat. So I asked one day, I was like, okay, I've seen commercial fishermen doing this stuff at the beach, you know, when they're going out for months on end. I says, but you're putting it in a bass boat. What gives? And they said, whenever the river crests, the water, we park our trucks where we know that the water, you know, there's a certain line where the river usually reaches
the
highest point.
Line.
Right. And they park their vehicles there, but then they take the boat from the vehicle to the house. So when you have to run errands, you walk out your front door, get in the bass boat, take the trolling motor to as
wait,
dry
wait,
as you
wait
get
a minute.
It.
How'd that go?
Motorboating. I'm a professional. My hidden talent. Thank you, thank you. All of a sudden, listenership has just gone through the roof. Let's hear Dave's motorboat again. Gladly. I'll be more than happy to motorboat for you, you, not you, but you. Yeah, that's...
Oh, God.
Hey, can we hear your motorboat again, Dave? Yeah, certainly, as long as you bring your sister.
Shit.
Oh, boy. Here's your candy for the evening. Yes, sir.
I think what Tim appreciates, because I've done it to him and he's heard me do it to others, y'all know me. That's one of my favorite lines. Somebody will do that unashamedly.
Uh-huh.
They'll make some sort of sound effect or whatever and be moving on. I'll be like, wait a minute. How'd that go? Then they'll do it again, and then, yeah. Yeah.
Confirm that he does do that.
Yes.
That is one of my go-tos.
I own it. Damn right. Motor.
All right, finish the story, sorry.
Motor boating specialist. Now, 20 years from now, there's going to be an article written how author Dave Atwell motorboated back in 2020.
Live on a podcast. Yeah.
Some Miss Moscow. Yeah, my God.
Yeah, Miss Moscow was involved.
Yeah, yep. Run for president. Yep.
No, technically, that's true. She came up in the podcast, so it was involved.
He also
made
you want
to ask me finish a story or...
Yeah. Yeah. He also made idle threats towards former president Bill Clinton. Yeah, they'll be able to take tonight's show and Barbara pull the hell out of that story, man. Good God. Incredible. But yeah, motorboating. Hell, I don't mind. It's all good. I get to make the noise. It's all about the sound effect.
So, ladies, he's a loud one. The
That's right. The line is
yeah. Oh, my God. So, yeah, so actually the people, they set up, they do the truck and the boat routine. And what they do is they go ahead, they stage the boat safely. They then they go ahead, stage the vehicle. And so when the river crests, they're able to go ahead and use the boat as a transport midstream, if you will. And get it up there and get to their vehicle and then do the landlubber stuff.
Yeah, and it's what they do two or three times a year when the river crests, and they don't bat an eye. You know, to the rest of us, would be some huge inconvenience to them. It's just what you do, you know. So I thought that was pretty cool. You know, the interesting stuff that you different regions of the plate, you know, of the planet that you work at and everything. And I mean, and God bless them. You know, these are folks that were able to plan 45 days worth of meals in one trip. I'm like, damn, I can't plan lunch in 45 days. You know what I mean? Good people.
Oh, I tell you what, speaking of food. Yeah, Dave, you already knew I was going to go on the tangent. I got to, we're going to be losing one of our people that we work with, Lisa, and I want to make sure she gets some love because we got onto a food tangent in the conversation, and she sent me a link with the recipe. And in the household, we're pretty much willing to try almost anything food-wise. And one of our favorite foods is Thai basil, and you can put whatever you want behind it. Those dishes are just redonkulous good. So we had this Thai basil chicken recipe she sent us, and the wife and I gave it a test run tonight. And I will tell you, we have a darn fine Thai restaurant here in town. And I know I can replicate one of those meals just as fine. Man, this was spot on. So, Lisa, thank you. Thank you. We're going to miss you on the work side. She already knows. We already have each other's cell number, so, you know, it's the com will keep going. She already knows she'll get some strange odds and ends text, be it a picture of one of my grandchildren, you know, one of the three cats, the bearded dragon or the Yorkie, periodically, that kind of stuff. But, man, she gave us a heck of a recipe. We did a test run with that, and it was just ridiculous good. So for those of you that like different food, don't be afraid to go out there, look up recipes, and give it a go. This food tangent brought to you by Todd, which I'm going to go ahead and do a quick commercial spot. I would like to make sure I thank VOC Nation, Voice of Choice, BradyHicks.com for allowing this show to be on the air. Brady, love you, brother. All right, and back to the show.
Speaking of your food, though, Todd, we had a classic. For any guy who's married out there, and moreover, for any guy who lives in Onslow County who's married, has gone through what I went through Saturday night. I asked my lovely bride, actually, I had a friend of mine coming in from high school, was coming in from Virginia, and he had shot me a message, and I had misread it, that Saturday he was going to be in town, and him and his wife wanted to get dinner. Well, I didn't hear back from him Saturday afternoon, so I reread the text and come to find out, he says, we're coming in Saturday for the week. I was like, oh, boy. And I had done told Dale we're probably going to go get dinner around Swansboro or Amarillo because that's where they're going to be. Nevertheless.
And just real quick, I don't want the listeners to be confused. Yes, Dave does actually have friends. Go on, Dave.
They're few.
Just let you know I had your back.
Well, a lot of them are intimidated by the motorboating skills, so it's always been hard for me to make friends.
Andy Brock.
Nevertheless, you know, Dave's already got in her mind that she's going to go to Emerald Isle for dinner, and then I had to go in there and shoot it full of holes. So I said, look, we'll still go out to dinner. Where do you want to go? And, Tim, you're going to be kind of in the dark on this, but Todd, he can go ahead and do the Indiana Jones red dotted line across the map thing with me. I live out here in southwest Onslow, which pictures southwest. It would be the 8 o'clock direction of Onslow County. And so we drove to Texas. Now, with it being August 15th, Saturday, COVID and all the other nifty stuff going on, I knew going to Texas would be a total shit show. Nevertheless, team player that I am, I drove from southwest Onslow to the center of Onslow County, which is Jacksonville, where the Texas is at. First off, here in Onslow County, and I think we've covered this a million times on the show, Onslow County is a county built on Walmart. Everything, all the restaurants here are chain restaurants. Very rarely do you see privately owned restaurants make it, because there's a lot of people here in this county, unfortunately, that want to eat five-star meals on a one-star price, and it just doesn't jive that way. Unless...
Oh, well, please. And what drives them nuts is they can't use... Oh, God, I'm going to take a shot for this one. Yeah, I'm going to say it out loud anyways. And no, people, you're not allowed to use EBT for that.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, this is the Chili's Applebee's crowd here in Onslow County. You know, it's just how it is. So, anyhow, we pull up Texas Roadhouse. I mean, it is an absolute circus. So, we start driving. We drive all the way down Western Boulevard to the end where Gum Branch comes in together. I whip it around, drive all the way back down Western Boulevard to 24 side where Tara is at, hang a left, drive all the way to Hubert. Now, Tim, mind you, the drive now, if you're looking at a clock, I have gone from 8 o'clock to the center of the clock, up to 12 o'clock. Now I'm heading to 6 o'clock and easing my way towards 4 o'clock. All right? Get over there towards Hubert. She says, let's just turn around. I said, all right. So I turn around, and I start heading back. And as we get on the bypass, heading back towards southwest Onslow, I mentioned, well, what about that place in Sneed's Ferry that you had mentioned you wanted to eat at? And she says, well, I don't know. That's a long way out. Blah, blah. I says, no, let's go eat. Oddly enough, the amount of time that it took us to drive from our house to the Texas Roadhouse, which is only like 6 miles, it took us just the same amount of time, if not more, than it did for me to drive from the bypass to Sneed's Ferry and go to Four Corners and eat at this restaurant, which was absolutely fantastic. So here's a plug for these folks. It's called Three Daughters Barbecue.
You know what? I've seen that lately making its rounds on the targeted social media.
Yes.
So give it details. Dish.
It was good. It's got everything that you would want in a southeastern restaurant, coastal southeastern restaurant. It was quiet. It was spaced. It was friendly. You could tell that the family was working. There was none of these. Nobody was wearing name badges. There was none of this, you know, Haley, you forgot your broccoli. None of that crap going on like you hear in the chain restaurant. You could tell it was a family-run business. Mama wiped the tables. You know, one of the daughters busted tables, another one rang the register, blah, blah, blah. You can actually sit in there and have a conversation over your meal without having to shout, or my favorite with being hearing impaired, going, What? Huh? It was the food, freshly pulled barbecue that was, I thought, out of this world. Fresh seafood, which I thought was pretty damn incredible. And it was, you know, sometimes you go to a seafood place and the food's real heavy. I got the shrimp and barbecue combo, and the shrimp was so light, I could actually taste the shrimp and not the grease. But they've got homemade desserts in a little Coca-Cola cooler. So if you want a slice of pie or a slice of cake, you just walk over there, grab a little paper plate, they ring it up. They take the skins from the pork, and they make homemade pork skins in a bunch of different flavors.
Oh, real chicharrones.
Oh, Todd, I'm here to tell you, man, not them hard, crunchy, tooth-splitting ones you get at the damn convenience store. I'm talking these things are fluffy, tasty. I mean, but it's funny. They're in a Ziploc bag with Cajun written on the side. You know what I mean? Somebody took a damn Sharpie to these things and just wrote the flavor on it. That's how good the place was. So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure every guy listening out there has been through the same experience for one time or another where they were just trying to eat and please the wife and do it within the same millennia. But, yeah, I mean, hell, we drove around for an hour, but funny, that trip to Sneed's Ferry, you know, is probably, what, 14, 15 miles. But I got there just as quick as I would driving 6 miles into town. So,
And you know, it's sad. It's, yeah, for you, because you can jump the bypass, get down there, you can make a chunky yardage there. Or if you wanted to, you could do the twist on the bypass. Yeah, not really. I was going to say it's not going to work out that effective for you. I was thinking about grabbing Old 30 off of Piney Green, but they're probably not the you know, although that's a, man, that's a, oh, no, you went to Sneed's Ferry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, I had Swansboro in my head. You went to Sneed's Ferry. Oh, no, I got it. Nice. And those that don't know Sneed's Ferry, man, we're not far from the time of the year, non-COVID, where normally the shrimp festival would be coming up.
Yeah.
And dude, it's another one of those neat coastal towns, right there on the intercoastal. It's on the edge where the of the New River Inlet, where it hits the Atlantic. It's oh dude, it's Shrimp City there. It's definitely Shrimp City.
Well, you know, oyster season's, what, 50 days out? And they'll be pulling in oysters. And
those things we're not far from there.
Yeah, but that's some good eating, too. I'm not much on the, I'm not real big on steamed oysters, you know, the half-shell stuff. But you throw some damn fried oysters at me, I'll put them to waste.
Oh, please, Dave, like there's ever been anything fried that you didn't like.
Yeah, it's true. Like when I tried to set my arm on fire trying to make the fried Oreos.
Oh, God. Man, I thought my days of being the safety NCO were over. And I was there and I was like, no, it's okay, Dave. I'm happy to help.
Tim,
I looked at Dale and rolled my eyes.
And Eric Stewart, who I'm going to go have lunch with tomorrow, by the way.
Dude, I have not touched base with him because his number that I have is a landline. So the text didn't work, and I haven't called him the 3 times I've been in the store. Let him know.
Yeah, I will, because I'll see him tomorrow. We're going to go over some script writing stuff and everything tomorrow, so looking forward to that. But, yeah, now, Tim, have you ever had a fried Oreo?
I have not. I was curious about that. It sounds like state fair food, really.
Yes.
Here they've got very much fried. So, yeah, enlighten me.
You take your damn Oreo and you dip it in pancake batter and you throw this thing. Usually I use like a wok pan and I put about maybe a quarter inch of oil in there and get it good and hot. And you take this Oreo with the pancake batter on and you throw it in this grease. I call it grease. It's, you know, vegetable oil. It's not grease. Like I'm using damn lard or some shit.
Oh, shit. I'm going to ask Yuki because we use a different batter. And you guys are going to know what it is, but I can't remember.
I just use the simple
keep going.
Jemima Complete biscuit or pancake stuff. And you throw it in there, and as soon as it gets brown, you flip it over and let it float on the other side. When that thing gets a little tan brown color on the other side, pull it out, throw it on a napkin, sprinkle some confectioner sugar on it, let it cool, and I'm here to tell you, it'll blow your damn mind how good these things are. So
now,
that
what time, we use, and I think it's just a preference thing, and Dave, you're right, these things rock, we use funnel cake batter.
Dave, thank you for that, and I think I just gained about 10 pounds just listening to you tell me how to do that, and I am definitely going to attempt it.
Tim, are you already Googling it?
Well, I've got one question, though. Do you have to put anything on the Oreo first, like egg or anything like that to get the batter?
Nope. Nope. You just do a straight dip in the batter.
Okay. I take a whole damn row of the things, and I throw them in there like they're going to the pool and stir them up in the batter and just let them sit in there because I'm going to eat more than one of the damn things anyway. And
Dave's right. You can drop a, depending upon the size of your, let's just call the fryer for this purposes, whether you're using a pan, a deep fryer, whatever. And generically, let's be crystal clear, fresh oil. And you want an oil with a high smoke point. Whole batch right in your batter. Just go ahead and give them a good dunking. Make sure everything's coated. You agree, Dave?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Make sure it's covered. You don't want to see no Oreo. You just want to see batter.
And the... go ahead.
Okay, didn't want to interrupt you. Well, here's my problem, and it must be an art. And I've never attempted that, but I have done my own, you know, like when Super Bowl comes around, when there's probably a couple other events, New Year's Eve, whatnot, I try to make some snack food that's not just go to the store, buy a bag of chips, you know, or whatever. I've made, like, my own onion rings or attempted to. And everyone says it tastes okay, but... You know, I'm not an expert, and usually you have to, you know, dip whatever you're going to put into egg to get, you know, so you can have something stick to it, and then roll it around.
I'm
trying to think of the last thing I did. The last thing I did was, was it zucchini? I think I was doing fried zucchini, and okay, but I didn't have it to where it was completely covered up. And you know, Kim said, my wife, she loved it. But and maybe I'm just trying to be a perfectionist on it, but I lack skill, I think, when it comes to the whole coating something. And again, we're talking about putting something in like an egg, you know, like a beaten up egg first and then putting it in batter and frying it. So maybe it's not as hard to do if you're just literally dropping it in and getting it coated. But that's where, you know, completely coating something and getting it to stick, that's where I've always had trouble.
All right.
Well, there is
a
difference between coating and batter, though.
Fried zucchini, this would be my approach. I would have a seasoned flour mix. I would have your egg mix, which is, you know, just the egg. Some people may want to use just the whites, whatever. I mean, I would just beat the bejesus, you know, with a whisk out of a bunch of eggs. I would have that as part two. And part three, I would have whether you want to use pick your breadcrumb routine that you prefer. I don't know that there's anything wrong here in your final choice. But it would be the quick flour coating. And in this household, and it might be the Asian influence, we tend to use chopsticks for this. Why they grip heavier directly in a particular spot or whatever. And so sometimes you're running into some of those issues where I've used the chopsticks. And you got to keep some of your tools separate, dry and wet.
Yeah.
As an oh, by the way. So you keep the dry tools to do the quick seasoned flour routine for your zucchini. You could do the same thing with, say, eggplant, whatever. I would do that, and I would take it and drop it into the egg mix. Go ahead, do that a separate pair, whether you're using tongs or chopsticks. Take that and then go drop that over there in the breader mix. And again, that's got its own tool over there. And you got to keep cleaning that tool on that side because it's getting a mix of wet and dry. Whether you're using panko or pre-seasoned breadcrumbs or just plain breadcrumbs at this point, don't matter. And that'll be your protective move for that. Oh, God, I'm such a cooking geek.
No, that's good to know. Good info. I tell you that I tend to cut corners. I mean, I'm not going to say I cut corners, but I don't take my time. And I get, especially when I'm trying to do several things at once when it comes to the kitchen. I'm trying to make several things. And so I get all antsy, and, you know, Kim knows. She's like, slow down. Just calm down. Take it easy. And I have a hard time getting that in my head. But so I'm using my fingers, you know, a lot for this, you know. So imagine I'm getting egg all over me and whatever it is, and I dip it in the batter.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with using your fingers from the egg to the thing and dropping it, but you got to have a separate tool.
Got it.
Once
and I don't
you get
think I,
into your breader.
I don't think I've done that. Now, here's the other question, Todd, and I'm sorry to make the tangent here, but so to further that, do you want to, because I tend to think that I want to have plenty of egg on whatever it is that I'm trying to fry. I don't necessarily let it, like, drip off. I have a lot of it, and I think that might be part of my problem because going into the batter, it clumps over
it. You give it a, okay. So your first cheat, it's going to be kind of fun with this from people. The let's say if I'm doing fried eggplant, zucchini, I may or may not kosher it first, which is a quick batch of kosher salt on it. I tend to just use kosher salt. Give it a quick coating. And let it pull some of the moisture out. But then you give it a rinse and paper towel it because you don't want all that extra sodium there. And it'll pull some of the moisture out of the initial product that you're going to fry there. You have to with eggplant as an oh, by the way. And we'll have a whole different conversation sometime because I can't remember at the moment, but there are actually female and male eggplants, and so the seed content will change based on whether it's male or female. Dumb shit in my head. Sorry, people. kosher or not, first, give it the good rinsing, the paper towel routine. Give it that seasoned flour look. Some people may tell me I'm wrong. I'm going to tell you right up front that initial flour coating, season it. Give it flavor. Will it work plain? Yeah. But I'm telling you, since you do tend to big fan of seasoning in layers, season it there. And then take it, just drop it in the egg routine. You give it there, you dunk it around a little bit, that kind of thing. And then You know, when you get it up, you don't want too much stuff dripping up into your breadcrumbs, because then you'll get those nasty little clumps of gooey crumbs going on. Whether you're using panko or whatever, don't matter. Give it a quick shake. Throw it over there. Give it a quick turn in there. Boom, grab your next one. Give it a quick turn in there. And I'm a big fan of using wider, moderately shallow pans for this, so I can get four or five things. You know, I can get a whole batch of that pre-breadcrumbed in there. And I'll let it sit in there a moment and give it another quick flip or two. So I've got a good coating on there. And then, you know, when I have more or less a batch prepped, boom, is that other stuff's coming out of the oil? Because, you know, you can be doing this process and going over there and flipping your stuff that's in the oil, boom, getting that over there to you, whether you're using a rack or your paper towel napkin routine for wicking the oil away. You have a whole batch, boom, bam, you got another batch going. It's in there. It's in the doggone oil, and it's gone. Man, you can start the flower routine. Start the doggone egg, you know, get it into the egg dip and do that. But, yeah, definitely shake off some of the extra egg. And for those of you that are doing your hot wings, let me tell you right now, I love using an old cooling rack for your cookies or whatnot or whatever. That is one of my things that I will use. I will have one rack set up for, I will do the pre-coating on my wings. I will take them, the light season flour coating, let them sit up there on that rack, and I will run them through my damn seasoned flour routine again, let them sit up there, and that's when they go into the oil. I love the whole do the butter, make your own hot sauce mix for your wings after that. But yeah, give your wings a good coat of seasoning with flour, and let them sit and let them dry a wee bit. Just take your time. Give them that 20 minutes, you know, between the two flour coatings. It's about 10 minutes each or so. If they were plenty cold when you started, that little time to attenuate a little bit in the room temp ain't gonna cause anybody any food poisoning issues, especially if you cook them thoroughly.
Dave, I'm going to say that you get Nostradamus level one, because you kind of called the food from Todd, but he's not talking about salad or pasta. So we'll call it Nostradamus level one. You did predict that.
I've done so many shows with Todd that I know exactly how things roll. And I lie to you not, somewhere in the archives of Pop Culture Stars, me and this gentleman did damn near a full hour on the different flavors of Hamburger Helper and which ones were better, which ones were bland, which ones we ate more because we were military families. Yes, when it comes down to cooking and food, Todd Saxon, that guy right there, has got like the Yoda status going on. And It's always fun, because if you ever, and I'm sure you've had the experience working with Todd, is that when he starts talking about food, you could just see the passion. I mean, his hands start going around and his eyes lock on you, and you could tell in his mind when he's describing it to you, he's cooking the shit imaginary style right there for you. So, and I've had the pleasure of devouring some of his chow, and I'm here to tell you, it's always, always top notch stuff, man. And
Oh God. Yeah. The true story. Do you remember? Oh God, this was so funny. We worked when we were both at Sam's at the bakery. I was like the only guy in the team, and so the ongoing joke was, and much of it is the true background. The true background was, I treated all the gals I worked with. And I don't say that in any form of demeaning way, because some of the age difference, I had moms, non-moms, stuff like that. I got grandmas, you name it. And I just treated all the girls I worked with like one of the guys. And the amazing result of that is they made me one of the girls. So the joke we had running with that was that all our menses synced up.
I learned up later, Todd. I really can't wait to bring that up later.
I'm sure you can. The true story. I mean, you won't believe the level of management that we referred that to. They use that line because they were all like, they're like, yeah, all our menses have synced up. If you think I can't play that better, Tim, go ahead. Feel free. Run with it. I dare you. Tim's like, son of a bitch. So they would be like, you know, I don't eat wild game or whatever, and I had done a variety of sausage balls and stuff like that. So I got one of my teammates who had some ground venison, or had some venison. I actually had to grind it myself. You know, add extra various fats to it, that kind of thing. I made sausage balls with venison, like homemade sausage balls, like the real thing. No Bisquick crap. I did all the stuff myself. And, oh, God, Dave, you were there. It was Olivia. And I think Kevin was involved with the conversation. It was Kevin and Pat involved with the conversation. They brought her in there, and they were like, and somebody was like, hey, Olivia, and she's a store manager. They're like, do you want to try Todd's balls? And the expression on her face was friggin' priceless. And so I was like, yeah, I went ahead. I made some homemade sausage balls, Olivia. You want to go ahead and try them? And they were like, and Kevin's playing along, and you know how Kevin is. He's like, yeah, he goes, oh, he's got some out there that, you know, everybody's just grabbing some up, and he's got some over there in the bag stashed back in the cooler. And he goes, Olivia, which ones do you prefer? She goes, yeah, let me have the ones in the bag. And I go, yeah, that's the way they came originally. And poor Olivia. So, like a week later after that, she was like, yeah, you know, told my husband that I had your balls and they were rather tasty. It's like, oh, freaking great. Wait till next time I get to see him. I'm sure that'll go well.
This reminds me of the old Saturday Night Live skit, the sweaty balls, when SNL used to actually be funny.
Yeah, right.
The, oh, dude, it was bad because, look, Dave will tell you our girl Lynn is outrageous as her humor was and stuff. She wouldn't necessarily say certain things out loud. She'd laugh at certain things. But when she turned around out loud and said, Todd, I love the taste of your balls, it was just like, that was like we had broke through at a whole nother level. And she didn't even think she'd say it in front of customers. They just, yeah, that goes over real well. It just.
All of it.
All
if
right,
you've
hey,
never
we're
watched
at the top
South
of the show,
Coast.
Boys and girls.
Yeah,
well,
close.
We've got to go ahead and do all our goodbyes.
Right on. So, Todd, we'll go ahead and start with you, man. Take the floor, baby.
Yeah. Man, people, you know it's a hot mess when I'm taking the lead. Look. they brought up some of these independent restaurants that are out here. When I found out I was able to come back home for a while, I gave my wife a list. And it was composed primarily of independent restaurants that here in this town have a rough go of it. The Liliana's Colombian Food. Look, anybody here in the Jacksonville, North Carolina area that needs a damn cake gun in Onslow County, go to Liliana's. Because that woman, look, don't go there if you can't pay. But if you want something that would compete with any of those damn baking shows on TV and that kind of stuff, grading stuff, that girl can do it. She is unreal. And, oh, by the way, their regular food is just outrageous. Outrageously good. So Liliana's Colombian restaurant and bakery, rock and roll it. The I wanted I did tacos. God almighty. They do some good stuff. And here's another one. Three stinking generations of people working there. Oh, by the way, Liliana's three generations as well. I went in there. I got the trip. I got to see the last trip in the Vitas to see Grandpa and Grandma. And just, you know, they remember me from before. I've been away for more than 2 years. And when you get a greeting like that, it's huge. It's real. I mean, one old girl's son was getting ready to go to the Air Force. And his uncle's a Marine and stuff like that. And just, you know, the family interaction and being included in the family, they, that's huge. Despite the change of management, and I haven't gotten their Yakitori house. Another independent place, and give them a little love. They're struggling really hard. They've got a point. They may not even be able to do lunch anymore. They may, you know, they're down trying to make stuff happen and just work with dinners. And there's people that have been there way over a decade as part of the staff. That's a real investment in belief in your place. They have some good food. They made a few changes in some of their processes, things like that, pre-pandemic. But we'll see. That's one of the places that was on the list. My Thai restaurant there on 17. Man, I will tell you right now. Oh, Yuki went out with some of her girls last night. Somebody's getting ready to leave. And there were a handful of them out there. And Yuki said, you guys have never tried Thai food? Try this. She turned them on to duck basil. Well, these ladies have never had duck, have always heard horrible things about duck. And apparently, they really love duck now. just saying that's the kind of thing. Hit these indie places. Because there are people in there that cook with passion, cook with love, and their investment in that place is at a different level. Are they often slower and less capable of doing some of those? You know, if you're one of those ones that don't go in there for Thai food and try to change your recipe to Japanese, it ain't working. Go in there for the Thai food. Eat the damn thing. Try it. Give it a go. You're going to love it. Try anything basil. Just saying. So, yeah, local restaurants, love you. Whoever wants to grab it next, Dave, Tim.
Well, truth be told, we're in the overtime right now, so I don't know if it's going to come through on the show, but Tim, go right on ahead, buddy.
Ah, good point. Well, I wanted to say, all joking aside, with, you know, Todd, appreciate the tips, and I'm going to try that. So I hope a lot of fans that, that listen out there are doing, you know, they're into the cooking thing and might listen to that too. But the other thing is, I wanted to give a plug. We're talking about plugs here. I wanted to mention Todd. Friday was a town hall with the PNR, Programs and Resources of the United States Marine Corps, and Todd was recognized by the Lieutenant General, and I thought that was pretty cool. So I just wanted to say good on you, Todd. That shows the good work that you're doing, and it's much appreciated, and I think that was really cool. So there was a obviously it was virtual, but his name was brought up on the screen. That was during the Lieutenant General's town hall meeting with all of PNR. So who knows how many people were on that call. And his name was up there for the job well done at the TSO. So hats off to you, Todd, and that's it for me.
Hey, congratulations.
I really appreciate it.
Outstanding. Well done. And for me, it'll be real quick, 75 days we go to the ballot box. And again, folks, like we started the show off, don't let the headlines steer your opinion. Read the whole story, get both sides, and make up your own mind. Don't just do what you're going to do because Miley Cyrus is doing it. Or worse yet, Jeffrey Epstein. With that being said, we're one of our favorite folks who find it's okay to lust over children. We won't get back on that. Nevertheless, been another great show. Tim, thank you for the save. Todd, thank you, as always, for the assist. And the fine speak on food. So now here it is, 22:30, and I'm stomach's growling. Thanks to you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Here for you.
When the scale grunts a little harder, it's going to be all your fault. But with all that being said, Dr. John hopefully will be back next week, and we will have the band together again. Tim, I hope you join us. And until then, everybody take care, be safe, and thank you for listening to Pop Culture Stars. Everybody have a wonderful night. Be good to one another.
Big love, big hugs, take care of each other. Stay safe, team.
All right, here come the British ladies.